Ace Podcast.
Weird.
Music never gets old to me.
Not yet.
Hey, guess what?
What?
I'm Craig.
I am Aaron.
Hey, this is Weird, the podcast.
That's
Weird,
right.
Formerly known as something else. Hey,
yes.
We're coming to you live from the Lee Berry Studios right outside of Nashville.
Yes.
And we're pretty pumped today. You know why?
Why?
Oh, I don't know.
I do know why.
I was hoping you knew why.
Just because we're recording Weird and it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to review an Ace podcast.
You were going to review an Ace podcast.
I'm going to review. You know, we're proudly part of the Ace podcast. Broadcast
podcast. You're obviously part of the Liquor of the Month Club.
Ace Podcast Network. Adam and Lee do a fantastic job of keeping the network tight and in conversation with each other. So today I listened to another new...
English is difficult for
you.
It
really
right
is.
Now.
I think I'm tired. But I listened to a new part of the Ace family. It's a podcast called Just Dudes Being Guys. And
yeah.
Dylan and Reed are two...
Dylan and Reed. Those guys.
Yeah, you know Dylan?
Yeah, Dylan, and then there was Reed.
Right, okay. And they go to school together, but they're college roommates, and they started this podcast.
No, they're roommates.
They're here. They started this podcast, and they share their wild and crazy college things that happened to them. You know, it is not safe for work, really.
You know, I always hear this not safe for work thing.
Yeah.
How about people go to work and actually work?
Oh, well, you could work with your earbuds in, listening to podcasts.
Then it really wouldn't be not safe for work if nobody can hear it but you.
Well, it's safe. That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Not safe for work. Anyway, they upload their episodes Mondays or Tuesdays around 8 p.m.
And whenever they feel like it.
Yeah, and I sampled it today. It's pretty good stuff. It's interesting. Funny.
Don't oversell it or anything.
Well, I enjoyed
it. It's pretty good stuff. It's okay. Hey, I got the top story.
Do you really?
Top story. I don't think you're ever going to hit that button. Guy pays $130 to ship $1 million antique. It goes poorly.
Oh, wow.
This is in China.
I got to ship this vase.
What's a vase?
It's a vase. I got to ship.
A man in China is likely regretting his decision to hire an express delivery company to ship his... I'm going to say that again. That came out nasty. A man in China is...
Hang on. Listen to how quiet it is
I know,
now.
All of a sudden.
Should we start over?
It's going to kick back on anyway.
Okay.
A man in China is likely regretting his decision to hire an express delivery company to ship his 985,000 antique.
Good grief.
I didn't say that right.
Antique.
I didn't say dollar. I just said 985,000 like there were a bunch of them.
Million.
Okay. A man in China is likely regretting his decision to hire an express delivery company to ship his nearly $1 million antique bronze pot after the package apparently...
How do you break a bronze pot?
I don't know. It got the Ace Ventura treatment. The unnamed man says the pot dates back to the Zhao dynasty.
Oh, yeah. The big Zhao dynasty. Yeah. That was a great TV show in the 80s.
The Zhao dynasty?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember that very good.
Yeah.
Making it about 3,000 years old, and it has been passed down through his family for generations. Well, the buck stopped there. The South China Morning Post reports, after selling the pot to a buyer... Well... Really? So it's so important it got passed down through his family.
Yeah,
he sells
so now
it.
He puts it on the market.
He paid express delivery company about $130 to transport it from Hunan to Shenzhen. Ooh, Shenzhen. I'm very familiar with that area.
Are you really?
Lots of electronics and like gadgetry comes out of Shenzhen.
They said, we send you an iPhone from Shenzhen.
I like Shenzhen.
The guy at the shipping counter said, oh, yeah, we get it that next day.
In fact, if anyone that has friends in Shenzhen wants to send me a bunch of really cool gadgetry,
yeah,
I'll talk about it on the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll talk about it, too.
All kinds of cool stuff.
Whatever.
They got cool gadgets.
I'll take anything.
The man says he told the company
Ain't
to be
picky.
Careful. I know you're not. The man told the company to be careful when shipping the pot.
You be very, very careful with these pots.
But the family heirloom, I don't call it that anymore, arrived at his destination in pieces.
I still don't know how you break bronze pot.
No, it's just a puzzle. It's unclear if the package had been labeled properly as an item needing to be handled with care. The man bought insurance for the package, but it will only pay him $4,300.
Oh, wow.
People in
That's
Chinese,
not a million.
Not even near. People in Chinese social media appear to have little sympathy for the man's plight, blaming him for trusting such a valuable antique to a delivery company.
Really? Well, how else is he going to get it there?
Put it on a rickshaw?
What's he going to do? Walk it over himself? Jeez, you got to deliver it somehow. What you need to do is do a little research and make sure you mark the package as fragile.
Fragile, so they'll think it's Italian.
It's Italian, and they'll be very careful with it. We've had a lot of alligator stories. Remember, last episode we had the ghost gator. Remember that?
Yeah, he kept disappearing on us.
Yeah, he did. But
And then you claimed to be a ghost gator in high school.
This episode... this
you were a ghost vapor gator.
This episode, we've got this headline. Two alligators left behind after Pennsylvania home eviction.
Wasn't that the Kirk Cameron series?
Eviction.
No, Left Behind.
Yes, it was. From Baldwin, Pennsylvania.
Oh, is that where Alex from?
Landlords never know what they'll find.
It's Baldwin. That's where people are losing their hair.
Landlords never know what they'll find left behind after tenants have been evicted. In Pennsylvania, for example, renters left abandoned two alligators.
They left abandoned.
They did. The landlord called a local animals resourcer for help.
Resourcer.
Oh.
You're tired.
I'm starting that whole thing over. Okay, Craig, alligators or gators in general have been a hot topic on our podcast lately.
That's a teenage clothing store.
The gators?
Hot topic.
Oh yeah, well, we got another headline: two alligators left behind after a Pennsylvania home eviction, and this is from Baldwin, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Landlords never know what they'll find left behind after tenants have been evicted. You remember we had the ghost gator last
year?
You think that this would have been a ghost gator?
You were a high school ghost vapor gator.
That's me.
You were disappearing in class all the time.
In Pennsylvania, renters abandoned two alligators. The landlord called a local animal.
Abandoned or gave up on catching them and putting them in a bag?
I don't know.
Should have turned them into bags.
Dan Rusey, the humane animal rescue person.
That's Rossi.
Is it Rossi?
It's Rossi. You can just keep going.
Dan Rossi with the Humane Animal Rescue
That's not to be confused with the Inhumane Animal Rescue.
Hasn't rescued a gator in 3 years.
That's because he's really bad at it.
He took the reptiles.
I came so close. I still got three fingers left.
And now he's evaluating the best way to rehome them. Why don't you just
throw them in a marsh somewhere and let them just...
It's legal to own them in the state of Pennsylvania, so we may adopt them
out. I guess
they
don't have a lot of marshes in Pennsylvania, do they?
We may transport them to another state and release them. That doesn't sound right. If they're used to being in a home and being fed,
isn't there a zoo?
It could be. We may transport them to another state and release them if that's another appropriate decision to be made on them. Rossi said, which that sentence didn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's Rossi.
Pittsburgh regulates exotic animal ownership, and a local adopter would need the right permit.
Permits? Where's your permits?
Rossi said that the original owners may be able to reclaim the animals. That'd be nice. You think that, you know how like when dogs are reunited with their owners, they get all excited?
Yeah, I don't think they do that.
You don't think the gators do that?
No. Did you see the cute cat videos?
Sure.
Did you see the cute little cat video? The cat is like swatting at the alligator?
No. Yeah, I have
seen
that.
What the heck, cat?
Yeah, but.
And the thing is, the alligator just doesn't.
Cat wins.
The cat won.
Yep, cat wins.
And the alligator had some delicious raw chicken right in front of him, and he just left.
That cat said, you ain't getting this chicken. Forget
it. That was awesome. Shelby County woman accused of faking cancer, collecting $38,000 in donations.
Oh, man, another one of these. People are down low. Down low.
Talk about.
Pop music.
Jennifer Flynn Cataldo, 37, of Sterrett.
Yep.
Sterrett. Was arrested Thursday and charged with two counts of first-degree theft by deception, jail records show. She's being held in the Shelby County Jail on $100,000 bond. The investigation of Cataldo centered around her use of two online GoFundMe fundraising campaigns.
Oh, man.
Where she received more than $38,000 from donors wanting to help her with her medical bills and a family vacation to Disney.
Okay. That part's probably true.
The fundraising campaign, that was all that she wanted was the Disney
part. That's exactly right.
The fundraising campaign identified as Cataldo as a terminal cancer patient.
That's wrong.
Investigators learned that she didn't have cancer, though. According to a news report, she claimed to have had the disease for nearly 7 years. According to the Attorney General's office, I had to see what AG was.
You came up with it quicker than I did.
The AG's office, she acted alone in the scheme. Alabama political reporter columnist Josh Moon this morning wrote that he had been contacted by Cataldo's parents, who claimed their daughter was bilked out of a $17 million legal settlement by then-Alabama Attorney General Luther Strange
Oh, please. Very odd guy. Everybody's blaming stuff on Luther Strange.
They're blaming Dr. Strange now. And then government Robert Bentley. Her parents, Moon reported, had burned through their savings supporting their daughter and requested Moon report on the situation, but he soon found that found the fraud was being perpetrated. Let me just skip the whole sentence, the whole paragraph.
Okay.
I can't understand why she would have done it, Cataldo's father said Thursday afternoon in a phone interview with Moon. I just don't know what would drive someone to do something like that.
Greed.
I don't know how she could keep us fooled for so long. A spokesperson for GoFundMe said donors to Cataldo's fundraising campaign will get their money back. First, our platform is backed with a GoFundMe guarantee, which means that in the rare case of a jackwagon trying to rob you, law enforcement or users' fines campaigns are for you. It's hard to say this stuff. First, that means it's time to edit.
Okay.
First, our platform is backed by the GoFundMe guarantee, which means that in the rare case that a jackwagon tries to steal from you, law enforcement or user find a campaign which are misused, donors will get their money back. He said misuse of the fundraising platform is rare. I don't believe that.
I kind of do.
With that said, there are unfortunate and rare instances where people create campaigns with the rest of my story missing. I think it happens a lot more. It's like Kickstarters.
Kickstarters are bad news nowadays. But with this, people will find a way to abuse any kind of fundraising. I mean, you see,
we found a way to abuse a podcast.
But you see these counters with the jar sitting on them with mm-hmm. pictures. People have been known to make up stuff for that and then come in and collect the money, saying their child's sick. You know,
I'm not supposed to. I thought that was. It was like you fit as many coins in your pocket as you could.
Well, that too.
What?
Headline is, woman eats $9,000 life savings to spite her cheating husband.
I thought that said, woman eats $9,000 worth of life savers. I swear I thought that's what that said.
That would be so much
that
better.
That would be a better story than what we've got right now. And I cannot wait to hear you try to say her name.
Sabrina Milana.
Sabrina? No, keep going. Keep it going.
Sandra Milana
Almeida.
Wolfed down $9,000
in lifesavers.
In cash after finding out her husband had been unfaithful. The 30-year-old's actions were only...
She ate the actual cash?
She ate the cash. The 30-year-old's actions were only discovered after she was taken to the hospital suffering abdominal pains.
She can keep the change.
Doctors then found bundles of notes inside her stomach. They were still bundled together. Miss Almeida apparently hid the cash after finding out that her husband's about her husband's infidelity. She took the extreme steps of eating the $100 bills after she discovered the hiding place and demanded half of it.
Hold up.
Yes.
I'm sorry. This is dumb. I'd go down to Golden Corral and make myself vomit on awesome pot roast.
Really?
When is Golden Corral going to sponsor us?
Tomorrow. I'm going to call them tomorrow.
And even if we don't get money, I'll take the awesome pot roast.
Sure. We will chat for food, I'll tell them.
The awesome pot roast and potatoes.
Relatives.
Say what you want about Golden Corral people.
I'm a fan.
That awesome pot roast.
I
can't speak to the other food, but that pot roast, that's something.
Their steak was good.
Yeah.
Everything I've had there has been pretty good, actually. Relatives and doctors only discovered she'd eaten them after carrying out tests. They said, how are you going to pay for this? Yeah. She said, you'll find
out. Give me about 8 hours and I'll show you.
Director of surgery at the University Hospital of Santa Barbara, John Pablo Sereno, told reporters, 57.
I think it's Paulo. I don't know why you said Pablo.
57 $100 bills were found and extracted.
Yeah, what happened to them?
Stomach.
But 56 couldn't be accounted for.
That's right. Some extra rolls of money were found in the intestines. So they ended up finding $9,000. She ate rolls of bills. They were not wrapped up or in any form of illicit transport, he said. It seems it was an act of desperation by this woman due to the problem she was facing to ingest these elements. And this, of course, affects the patient's normal intestinal functioning and her life. Miss Almeida said is from the Padukusta.
Yeah, where's she from?
All right, I'm going to try this sentence. Miss Almeida is from Padukusta in the northeast of the country and is expected to make a full recovery. The dollar notes were washed, I hope so, and are in good condition, but the rest of the money was lost because of her stomach acid.
I feel sorry for the bank teller.
Oh, my gosh. Following the successful procedure to remove the cash, Sandra Molina Almeida said she was now saving for a luxury holiday.
Seriously, you'll swallow $9,000 and then you go. Then you're going to go on your way about saving for a holiday.
Now you're saving.
Yeah, now you want to save.
Well, maybe that's what she was trying to do, save it in her belly.
Hey, we got an Australian story.
I was hoping you'd say that. It's been a couple episodes. It's been like two episodes.
Can never get enough of this. Are you ready?
Yeah. Wait. Let's hear kangaroo, and then we'll do the story. Kangaroo.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Man finds a dead cockroach inside his M&M's chocolate bar.
I just keep eating.
Wait a minute.
You know,
M&M's makes a chocolate bar?
Yeah, you haven't seen those?
No.
Yeah, they're like a regular size candy bar, but they got little M&M, the little bitty tin.
Why wouldn't I just buy M&M's?
Because then it's I wouldn't one have big to have a cockroach thing. Sometimes you got to take a bite out of a chocolate bar.
And have a big cockroach head in your mouth.
Doesn't matter.
And Melbourne man has made a discurving.
It was discurving.
It was discurvy.
Most discurved.
He had discurvy. A Melbourne man has made a disturbing discovery when up. Oh, crap. Threes. A Melbourne man has made a disturbing discovery when unwrapping an M&M's chocolate bar he purchased from a Coles supermarket. Kyle Rosewarne tucked into his crispy
yeah,
mint
that's
chocolate
right.
block.
It was tucked in like a blanket.
He tucked in. Is that like bit into?
Yes.
And had eaten four squares before noticing something rather alarming. Protein. As he peeled back the wrapper further, he spotted a dead cockroach embedded inside the confectionery treat.
Oh, boy.
The disgusted consumer, after vomiting profusely, I made that part up, but I would have.
Sure.
Took to Facebook to vent his anger after failing to get a response from the famous chocolate brand.
Why wouldn't they respond to something like that? If you've got photos.
It would be called M&M. It'd be Craig, M&M's, Mars,
yes.
Whatever. You know what? At least I'd be getting like boxes of chocolate delivered minus the cockroaches.
Exactly.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Mm-hmm.
When I opened the package yesterday, I found an added extra, he wrote on his social media site. To my absolute disgust, there was a dead cockroach inside.
Well, it's better than a live one, I guess.
After his post began to garner significant attention, Mars Chocolate Australia contacted the Shell Shock.
Mars Chocolate where?
Australia. They contacted the Shell Shock consumer.
Maybe post-traumatic stress consumer.
Who was not impressed with their response. Mr. Rosewarne told Daily Mail Australia he received your standard apology, corporate. Okay, I can't do that with that guy. I can't.
you said Australia.
Okay, stop. Stop! Mr. Rosewarne told Daily Mail Australia that he received your standard corporate apology. They offered me a 20 to 30 Coles or Woolworths voucher.
Stay out of the Woolworths.
Which I declined. The 25-year-old went on to point out the severity of such a discovery. It's not only a health problem. That's not a cockroach. It's serious ecological concern as well.
I think I probably would have broken off where the cockroach was and then
not
ate.
Me.
Man,
I would have been
it's
shooting
a chocolate
for the stars.
Bar. It's
no,
M&M's chocolate.
I would have left it the way it was, and I would have walked out with crates full.
All right. Headline is.
I'd be like, let me tell you something. you're gonna pack up my van over here
with chocolate,
and nothing else is gonna be said to the media. Or you can be, you know, this is very simple. Give me the chocolate and Bob's your uncle.
Bob's your uncle. Dana Point.
That's for my Australian folks out there.
Dana Point Bar sparks furor over green cards, which they called a drink, and an inflatable wall for Cinco de Mayo, Craig.
So it sparks Hitler's over green.
Not Hitler's.
Not Führer's.
Führer, yeah. Bar owner Paul Hennessy says he wanted to get people talking. Well, that'd do it. To mark Cinco de Mayo, his Dana Point bar set up an inflatable wall for patrons to climb over.
Nice. Oh, no.
And handed out green cards that guaranteed one free drink to those who clambered to the top.
Seemed like a good idea on paper.
To me, that's hilarious. Since then, Hennessy's Tavern has gotten angry phone calls. Yelp reviewers have called the Cinco de Mayo event disgusting, tasteless, and racist.
Oh, come on.
They've called for a boycott, haven't they?
It was bad taste at
sure.
best. But
give the guy a break. Hennessy argues that they are missing the point. It was our way of protesting, he says. Yeah, protesting. He wasn't getting enough clients.
I'm not saying they're wrong for being upset, but I'm just saying that of all the things that happen in the world, this is probably the least to be worried about at the moment.
Then he said, I guess it's just the way it was presented. Some people took it different.
I'm sure it was meant to be tongue-in-cheekish, right?
His words have failed to convince his critics, who say Hennessy is simply trying to spin an insulting spectacle that trivialized the real struggles surrounding immigration and the border. It's a pretty frightening time when families are being broken up, says Barrigato Gibson, who was originally from Orange County and now lives in Los Angeles.
With a name like Barrigato.
Barrigato,
Barrigato.
Some bar thinks that this is funny. There's nothing funny about this. To me, it is funny.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I guess you just take things too seriously.
I guess so. Barrigato Gibson.
If they made fun of white guys, I'd be laughing
about
it.
Oh, I would too.
You know, I mean,
everybody would.
Everybody makes fun of white guys anyway.
That's right. Barrigato.
I don't understand why, you jolly golly gee. Why are you making fun of all the white guys?
He was in town for a work event, heard about the wall from a friend, and stopped by to take photos. So it worked. People were coming to check it out. It includes a photo of the...
I know friends that are Hispanic that would laugh about this.
You could get a green card that was a permanent drinking card. We've got a mutual friend that probably thinks this is quite humorous from Mexico City.
I bet he does. Yeah. So we speak from some experience.
We should call him. This includes a cartoon drawing of a woman from Mexico named Isabel Orlando. The phrase green card is emblazoned over a green fingerprint under the word citizenship. The card states in process. Well, that may have been going a little too far, but
it might have been. Like I said, it was probably bad.
It was a joke.
It was meant to be.
It was a joke.
Lighten up, people. Bigger problems in the world.
Really?
Ukraine banned Steven Seagal.
Man, I wish America would.
I know. I was going to say, Ukraine is really onto something. Ukraine has banned American movie action star Steven Seagal as a national security threat, making him the latest of several cultural figures to be blacklisted.
He kind of is a security threat. If they happen to show his movie, people are going to go nuts.
Yeah, they will. The Ukrainian Security Service said it had forbidden Seagal's entry into the country for 5 years in a letter published by the news site Apostrophe. The service's press secretary later confirmed the ban to other media. The letter said such a decision is made when a person has committed...
There you go. Yawning.
I can't help it.
We're going to have to wrap up soon. I'm out of water.
Okay. The letter said such a decision is made when a person has committed socially dangerous actions that contradict the interest of maintaining Ukraine's security. The move comes after the actor received citizenship in Russia, which has backed separatist in simmering conflict in eastern Ukraine. President Vladimir Putin handed Seagal a Russian passport and told him he hoped their personal relationship will remain and continue during a meeting in the Kremlin last year.
Well, obviously, Putin has never seen any of Steven Seagal's movies.
Yeah.
Neither have I, because I can't get through the credits.
No,
it's so
when
bad.
He comes on the screen, I just turn it off.
He can't. Well, in my opinion, he's not a very good actor.
Well, Ukraine previously banned Russia's entry to the Eurovision Song Contest that Kiev is hosting next week.
Well, did he have a... I wonder if Steven Seagal had a song he wanted to put into that contest.
I hope not.
Headline is, Joyriding Brothers, ages 6 and 8, crash at Tim Hortons drive-thru.
No, it's not Tim's Horton.
it's Tim Hortons drive-thru. And the reason I included the story tonight is because we had the story not long ago of the 8-year-old who drove his little sister mm-hmm. to McDonald's.
On his tippy toes.
This is
his little piggy bank with him.
Yes, he did. This comes to us from Jarvis, Ontario. An 8-year-old boy and his 6-year-old brother escaped unharmed after they allegedly crashed their parents' truck at a Tim Hortons coffee shop in southwestern Ontario. Provincial police say the boys took the pickup truck around 7 a.m. Thursday to go to the restaurant to get some breakfast. They were hungry, Craig.
They were very hungry. They just wanted food.
They say the 8-year-old who was driving lost control of the vehicle in the Tim Hortons drive-thru in Jarvis, Ontario. This kid saw what the other 8-year-old did in the news a couple of weeks ago, and he said, well, I'm doing that too. They say the 8-year-old who was driving lost control, which I just read. The truck hopped the curb and veered into a field where it became stuck. Police say a Tim Hortons employee checked on the truck and discovered the children. Note. Yep. No charges were filed.
Tim Hortons owns Burger King.
Do they really? Now, mm-hmm. I like a good flame-grilled
apparently
Whopper.
Apparently in talks to purchase Popeye's chicken.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Tim Hortons.
Tim Hortons is just buying up all the good food.
We'll have to talk to some of our Canadian friends, eh?
Beauty.
Tell us all about it.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Elon Musk, that crazy nut that wants to put people in a pneumatic tube and shoot them across the planet?
Sure.
He wants name for new boring machine.
It's a machine that bores.
Yeah.
It's not a boring machine.
We'll try the headline again. Elon Musk wants name for new boring machine.
That's right.
Internet goes wild. That's what I said.
Yeah, it is.
Learning nothing from Bodie McBoatface, Tesla chief sought help naming a tunneling machine. It really does bore.
It does. That's what I'm saying.
Naming a tunneling machine, and the public replied in kind. Elon Musk needs a name for his new digging machine, so he asked the internet.
Not a good idea.
We all know how much the internet likes naming things.
Not a good idea.
The Tesla CEO has a new venture called The Boring Company.
Change that name.
Really. Which, rather than being a company about uninteresting things, that's arguable, is a tunneling company aiming to help Los Angeles traffic by digging tunnels underneath the city.
Okay.
That's what they need, somebody to weaken the infrastructure. Yeah. Probably aware of the boring puns inevitable, with a name like The Boring Company, Musk asked Twitter what they should name his new toy, and the suggestions started rolling in. William Burroughs.
Which I don't get. I know he's an author. He's not,
well, Burroughs.
Oh, okay, Burrow. Okay, that's good. Yeah, yeah.
Call it Dig.
D-I-G-G.
Yeah. The Elongator. Bodie McBoreface.
Somebody's...
Bory McBoreface.
That's my favorite.
I like Jeff.
Somebody suggested
Some
Jeff.
Some call him Tim. Moly, moly, moly. And the last one, Andy Dufresne?
Yeah, that's from the Stephen King book.
Uh-huh.
And the movie. What's the movie where they dug out under the prison and escaped?
Oh, Shawshank.
Yeah, that's from Shawshank Redemption.
Wow. Hey, we're at that time of the show again where we want to talk about your interesting police blotters.
Okay, I'm a big fan of police blotters, especially when it's a night like they just had in Kalispell. At 6:51 in the morning... On this day, a Kalispell man reported that someone had just spent the last few hours trying to break into his house. That's an issue, right? But the undeterred burglar finally got into his house and is now making a scene. The reporting party wanted law enforcement to come get the burglar.
So the guy takes forever to get, a few hours trying to get in. Yes. Finally gets in and starts making a scene.
Why didn't this guy call 911 when he started? Okay, at 9:38 a.m., a Kalispell man found some weird-looking mushrooms.
Where's Kalispell?
I'm not sure, but he called 911 to report that. At 11:16 a.m., a local man called because one of his quote-unquote drug-crazed neighbors stole his chainsaw.
And was in somebody's living room making a scene.
So at 2:45 the same afternoon, some rowdy kids drove their 1980s beater through a fence.
Nice.
4:14, a Columbia Falls man reported that his neighbor's dog is a jerk.
Oh, that needs to be reported.
Call 911.
Hey, Sheriff, my dog, the dog next door, Sheriff, he's a jerk.
At 5:08, some books were found in a gully.
Okay.
Not the Fern Gully. At 6:16, now this is a good one and it takes a little bit, but a Kalispell woman called police because she believes she had been the victim of fraud. A few days earlier, a man claiming to be a police officer called and informed her that she owed the IRS more than $1,400 in taxes.
Okay.
The man said the best way for her to pay the IRS was to buy a bunch of iTunes gift cards, call him back with the numbers on the back of each
card.
This
is a real scam. This was going on around up here.
The woman did as the man said, but after giving it some thought, she decided it was a pretty weird request, and she called the police.
But she already gave him all the numbers.
He's got $1,400 worth of iTunes numbers there.
Oh, my God. Hey, this must be another Australian story. Oh, yeah. This is good. This is kind of a follow-up.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to keep this rolling until he says kangaroo.
It just messes with me when you do that.
Okay, hang on.
Because I want to dance along.
Kangaroo.
Okay, it's fake now.
Okay, thank you. Goodbye. Two Australian friends went to North Korea to find out whether state-approved hairstyles are true.
Which is a story we covered here on Weird.
I know, that's very risky, because you may never get back
that's
out.
That's true.
Two Australian friends made a 5,000-mile trip to North Korea to prove a point. Don't believe everything you hear about the secretive nation.
Yep.
Over the years, a number of reports on unconfirmed bizarre practices in the country
unconfirmed.
Have emerged and captured global attention. Ordinarily, such claims would be met with skepticism, but not when it comes to North
nope.
Korea. One such example is reports by Western media claiming that both men and women can only choose from a limited range of state-approved
12.
Haircuts.
Wasn't it 12?
15, I think. Something like that. Determined to get to the bottom of whether such rumors have any credibility, Sydney University students Alexa Vulovic,
yes.
24, and his friend
very good.
I'm going to say Alex, 25, paid a $2,000 each for
Australian. The A means Australian dollars.
Okay. Determined to get to the bottom of it, whether such rumors have any credibility, Sydney University students Alexa Vulovic, 24, and his friend Alex Apollinov, 25, paid $2,000 each for a 6-day tour of the country under a watchful eye of the government.
Uh-huh.
The pair recorded their journey on an SLR camera and posted a 20-minute documentary called The Haircut, a North Korean Adventure
on that.
YouTube.
I love a good documentary.
Nobody said it was a good one. While North Korea maintains strict controls over recording, they told Nine News Australia that filming on the modest camera allowed them to avoid being questioned by officials who typically only allow tourists to record limited amounts of footage.
Hmm.
After touching down in Pyongyang, I gotta say that again. That's gonna sound
easy.
Nasty, I know. After touching down in Pyongyang, Vulovic followed his tour guide's recommendation and booked the pair for pair in for a haircut at a salon. Upon arrival, he showed the hairdresser a picture of the hipster style he was after, and she duly
obliged. Well, how about that?
But he's Australian. He's
That's
not.
True. That's true.
Hilariously narrating the experience, Apollinov says, when we showed the hairdresser a picture of the exact amount of hair we wanted, they got rid of the unwanted hair, just like hairdressers do all over the world. The documentary then cuts to Volovic carefully placing a picture frame of the North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un on a bookshelf. So, he says mockingly, it turns out that North Koreans get haircuts just like everyone else in the world does. What an exciting adventure, eh? Again, he's not...
He's not North Korean.
He clearly does not look North Korean,
no.
I'm sure.
No.
So, I'm kind of... Maybe... I mean, I hope he's right, but seems a little... smug.
Yeah, and if that documentary is correct, then we reported a false story, and that doesn't happen.
I would just say it goes under our 0% guarantee.
Yeah, it does. Got another headline here from Australia. Kangaroo crashes horse race in Australia.
You can stop that now.
Not yet. I can't get enough of it, man.
You're the only one.
You don't want to do the kangaroo. Okay, this is from May the 3rd. A horse race in Australia briefly took a bizarre turn when a kangaroo hopped onto the track and claimed the lead position.
Kangaroos hop?
Yeah, and I saw this.
You said like I didn't know.
I saw this video. I saw this video today, and it was hilarious for more than one reason. First of all, it looked funny because the kangaroo was going between the horses, but the announcers completely ignored it. They didn't say anything about
like
the kangaroo.
It was like it was a normal day.
So it was just like a regular day at the track in Cessnock, North South Wales.
Too many words in their cities.
Shows the kangaroo hopping along the inside rail after wandering onto the course and briefly taking the lead from the racehorses. The kangaroo's racing career proved to be short-lived as it was spotted an opening in the line of horses and bounded off the track. The horse and their rider seemed unfazed by the kangaroo's cameo appearance, and the race continued uninterrupted. The marsupial surrender left the path open for a horse named Cunning as a Tiger to claim the victory.
Oh, could. Sure. Their marsupials can run across the track. Ours, they have to smoke them out.
Yeah, burn down a house.
Oh, my gosh. Hungry burglar ate cheese sandwich, dill pickle.
Wait, was this a burglar in Hungary?
No, it was in York, South Carolina.
Well, there you go.
Deputies in South Carolina have arrested a man who broke into his neighbor's house to make a sandwich. The Rock Hill Herald reports the New York... I'm sorry. Okay, shh.
No, I was laughing.
I know. The Rock Hill Herald reports the York County Sheriff's Office says 55-year-old Joel Puglia. Of Rock Hill has been charged with burglary and
easy, Craig.
I'm gonna say larceny with titty larceny. The Rock Hill Herald reports the York County Sheriff's Office says 55-year-old Joel Puglia of Rock Hill has been charged with burglary and larceny after authorities said he entered the locked house Saturday. The report lists the stolen goods as a drink of clear moonshine.
Oh, no.
A Clover Valley kosher whole. That's Clover Valley. That's Dollar General. Clover Valley
that's
kosher.
That's a good pickle right there, my friend.
Is it?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. Clover Valley kosher whole dill pickle, a scoop of Nuke's pimento cheese, and two slices of bread.
No, wait a minute.
Nuke's is good.
Nuke's is real good. But why? There's got to be something else to this story that they haven't reported.
Well, it says the homeowner alerted authorities after home surveillance detected motion. He had installed the cameras after noticing things going missing.
Oh, well.
Puglia, who is renting property from the homeowner, admitted to entering the home on other occasions.
Wow. So he said, all right, you caught me.
We have a lot of weird things where people just go in and grab food.
That's why we have a show called Weird.
Yeah, that works
out.
Exactly. Works pretty good. It's time for the Flash Jackass Top 10.
Hey.
Oh, this is, we can't pronounce any of these words.
Sure we can. We're going to have fun trying.
Top 10 most bizarre phobias.
Number 10, diphenobia. Diphenphobia. Diphenophobia.
The fear of this conversation.
The fear of dinner conversation.
Oh, dinner conversation. Now thinking about dinner.
How would you pronounce that?
We need Dr. Jason.
Jason Brooks, yes.
Diphenophobia. Diphenophobia. Number 9, genophobia.
Yes.
The fear of knees.
Who's afraid of knees, man?
I don't know.
There's nothing scary about that.
We both know somebody who's scared of mayonnaise.
Yeah.
We do. We
That's
really
not,
do.
That didn't make the list.
I know.
Number 8, Anuptophobia.
Anuptophobia.
That's right. The fear of staying single.
Yeah.
I don't have that.
Euphobia.
Yeah,
fear
that's
of
right.
hearing good news.
Why are you getting the easy ones? And who's afraid of hearing good news?
I'm afraid I'm going to hear bad news.
What's the deal with that? Number six, pognophobia. The fear
pogonophobia.
The fear of beards.
I look at fear I can't grow one. Philophobia. Philophobia, maybe? The fear of falling in love.
Oh, now why would you be afraid of that?
I don't know.
Unless you're like married.
Unless you've been hurt a bunch. Yeah. Unless you've been hurt a bunch.
Number four, serophobia.
How about chirophobia?
Chirophobia. Fear of chiropractors.
Yes, right. Fear of hands, could be.
Yes.
Bibliophobia. The fear of books.
I've got the opposite of that.
I know. I got the fear of having to read one.
I have the fear of not being able to read. And that is a real thing with me. I fear losing my eyesight because I love reading so much.
Mine's on the way out.
I've often thought of learning to read Braille while I can see.
That's a good
story. In case.
Well, people that are blind learn to read when they're blind. Why do you have to be able to see to learn?
Because I think it would be easier since I'm used to sight.
Tell that to Stevie Wonder.
And did you know that there's an ebook that does Braille? You just put your fingers.
This is interesting, but I want to get to the last
you
two.
You put your fingers on the mat.
I believe you.
And the letters roll under them.
Right.
Number two, panophobia.
Panophobia?
The fear of everything.
That's me.
And the number one, Craig.
Phobophobia. The fear of phobias.
That's all. How do you top the fear of phobias?
I've got a fear of. We need one that's the fear of trying to read words you can't read on a podcast.
Hey. The fear, for two people that are doing a podcast, we sure don't talk very well.
Well, we kind of laid that out on the front end.
That's true.
We, you know, that's 0%
knows.
Guarantee.
Our listener knows what they're getting.
Well, when you get us at getwhatyoupayfor.com.
We'll see y'all next episode. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Ace Podcast Networks.